up and welcome back to episode 58, powered by Boot Crew Media. It is the home of your 11th place in the Western Conference, New Orleans Pelicans. My name is Justin Napoli, alongside Stephen Offner and Ross Thibodeau, brought to you by Company Burger, located at 4600 Ferret Street. Steve, how are we doing?
Good afternoon, Vietnam. How are we doing, ladies and gentlemen? I'm excited for today. A little guest that we'll toss it to here in a sec. But Ross, what's up, brother?
Same old thing. I am drinking a Riverfront lager from Port Orleans. They've got this scale on the back that I love. It says it's lighter, light, malty, sweet, crushing it. Plus, Pels are starting to play decent ball.
Pels are playing decent ball. And speaking of, we have a special guest on today's show, hailing from Monroe, Louisiana, Ben Mintz, or better known as Barstool Mintzy. Mintz, before I pitch it to you, can we get a sup, fellas?
Sup, fellas. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Well, the Monroe part's not quite as interesting as the working in Manhattan at Barstool Sports, where I'm actually in the office right now in a side room taping this podcast with y'all. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Absolutely. And, you know, I had to shout out a couple guys, Kent McGuire and Louis Chaubert, for telling me, you know, you got to get Mintzy on. I reached out to you, and just like that, you wanted to come on. So, you know, we're so glad that you're on our show, and we follow you and love you. And I want to talk to you about the Pelicans and who do you, you know, you're a big gambler and things like that right now. Profitable wise, like Pelican players, who do you love to take on prop bets and certain things like that?
Well, right now we're so up at Barstool. I'm really trying to push the, you know, shine a light on the Pelicans nationally, because I'm sitting in an interesting spot up here where, you know, the Pelicans don't really have too many big national fans like the Saints do. And so I love supporting, being the guy at Barstool that's supporting New Orleans and the Pelicans. And, you know, we're starting to do some bets in the Barstool Sportsbook with Zion props. And, man, just watching the way – I know that the Pelicans are frustrating night to night, because you never know what you're going to get. But, man, as a fan, we just got to sit back and enjoy the Zion emergence into a superstar, because he is as advertised. And when they – you know, now that they run the offense through him more at the point forward, I mean, I feel like we're just lucky to get to see what we're seeing. And he's – you know, this is kind of truthfully his rookie year after he missed those first 46 games, the knee injury, and then all the stuff with the bubble. And so now we're really seeing him start to emerge, and it's a treat to watch. And I thought that win over on Sunday, you know, down, get outscored 41-12 by the Suns on that fourth quarter Friday night, then you're down 24 mid-third and then come back. I thought that was a thrilling win. Hopefully it can build some momentum. The guy night after night that I really like to support is Josh Hart. I just like the fact how hard he plays. I love the fact that he rebounds so much for a guard his size. And just lately, I'm loving seeing him play more and Eric Bledsoe on the bench, because Bledsoe drives me insane.
I was about to transfer to this. How much do you hate Eric Bledsoe?
And he just – the thing is, I don't understand. Like, he's not a good three-point shooter, and he just takes like 10 or 11 a game. It's just too many bad shots. You know, he's kind of built up to be more of a defensive player than he truthfully is. And – I mean, I don't know. I don't think he's awful by any means. I just don't think he needs to be playing 30 minutes a night. And I think they're better when Hart's out there.
Mintzy, you bring up a couple of funny things. You know, Justin has been referring to the Pelicans as his high school girlfriend for the last like 2 months, because they get in a fight and then the next day they get back together for how well they played. But you talked about the Barstool Sportsbook app. Man, when are we going to get that in Louisiana? What's going on down here? Help us out.
Well, so a bunch of stuff's going on in Louisiana right now. So it passed on the ballot November 3rd to legalize sports gambling. So the next big date is April 12th, when this is going to get voted on in the House. And it's going to pass. The question is will we get the mobile app, or will you have to go to casinos? And Penn Gaming, which is partnered with Barstool, actually owns a bunch of casinos in Louisiana. Boomtown on the West Bank, LaBerge Baton Rouge, LaBerge Lake Charles, and Margaritaville, Bossier City, as well as Boomtown and Bossier, all Penn properties. Then it also owns the Hollywood on the Gulf Coast right now, Ameristar Vicksburg, and Hollywood Tunica. And I think that's been a big part of me being hired by Barstool, is to help grow those brands in Louisiana, Mississippi. I really hope we're pushing hard for the mobile app, because I mean, it'll be fun to get Louisiana sports gambling, but we all just want to sit around at our home and be at the Pels game and just be able to click the app instead of having to go to the actual physical casinos. So that's to be determined. I know we're getting sports gambling, but it would make more money if we got the mobile app. So I'm hoping for the best.
Yeah, I really hope that they get the mobile app because my ideal life is to never leave my house again. So if I could stay on the couch and do everything from there, it's exactly how I want my life to go.
It's a game changer.
I have been thriving in quarantine. Thriving.
It would be great. We do a ton. I mean, look, we were at the Pels game last week and we're blasting off halftime and live bets and stuff. It would be so sick to have something like that down here, man.
Yeah.
Well, I know this for a fact. We're going to probably be having Barstool sports books in a lot of those places coming. That'll be really fun. And I know I'm going to be heavily involved with all this. I'm going to be coming back doing shows at these sports books and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I look forward to it.
Amazing. So you said Penn owns Boomtown down here.
Yep. Owns Boomtown in Harvey on the West Bank.
Boomtown has the best casino buffet of all of the buffets.
We're coming down there.
Yeah, oh, tried and true. I've been there multiple times. I've been to the Harris one, the Boomtown one. We would go out of our way to go to the Boomtown buffet. It's fantastic.
So what's seafood on it, or what makes it so good?
Oh, everything. They got seafood. The dessert tray, the dessert stand is probably the best part. Yeah, any type of fucking cheesecake you can think of. Eat about 14 to 15 slices and just leave absolutely miserable. That's all. I love that place.
Boomtown. I didn't know. I mean, I've been there one time. I got stuck there. Oh, it was 6 a.m.
Oh, was that the time when, we couldn't find an Uber. We couldn't find a cab until like 7 o'clock in the morning. It was not fun.
So, Mincy, obviously, you kind of blew up over, you know, you were explaining before we joined the show of how much you love Ole Miss. Why Ole Miss over LSU and what made you, you know, kind of attend Ole Miss and get there and kind of go?
I'm from Monroe. My family has a farm, a big farm in the Mississippi Delta that's kind of by Greenville. And my mom was a big Ole Miss person, and my dad went to LSU. So I kind of grew up in a house divided, but it was definitely the family influence on my mom's side that led me to Ole Miss and Oxford. And, you know, it actually ends up being a huge blessing because I wouldn't have gotten hired at Barstool if I wasn't an Ole Miss guy. They brought me in to battle with Brandon Walker, the big Mississippi State guy out here. So we go at it all the time.
The other Mississippi boy, huh?
Funny, though. It's hilarious because they brought me in as the other Mississippi guy, and I'm from Louisiana. You know? And, I mean, I grew up in Monroe. I did 4 years of sports radio in Shreveport. I lived in New Orleans 5 years, and I worked for ESPN in Baton Rouge. I mean, I've kind of lived all over the state, I guess, except for Lafayette, Lake Charles.
All the podunk towns a little bit there, huh?
Yeah, your bio on Sportsbook is unquestioned. I mean, the video's hilarious. A lot of the stuff you do, we are dying laughing at. I went and looked at your bio, and it's distinguished that you graduated from Ole Miss with a 2.0 in finance, and I was on the ground laughing. I mean,
2.00, did the complete bare minimum, graduated at the young age of 32.
One of the most fun things though about following you is, like you've been saying, you're, you know, a huge New Orleans supporter, whether it's the Pelican Saints, what have you. Talk to us a little bit about the stuff you want to try and do down here. I know you said you plan on making a lot more trips. Just your support of the area is super cool.
Yeah, no, look, so I lived in New Orleans from 09 to 14, and like many before me and many that will after, kind of burned it up a little too more than I should have, especially when I had a bunch of money in the poker world. I mean, I was just going out partying real hard. I'm a big live music fan. I would hang out, big Maple Leaf, big Tipitina's guy, love Frenchman. And I kind of overdid it in 2014 and had to hit the timeout button. And that's when I went back to school to kind of recenter. But I always kind of saw my story, like, I want to get back to New Orleans and do really well down there. And kind of like, you know, New Orleans is a city of rebirth and resilience. And, you know, I always felt that was like my arc, like eventually I was going to come back and try to be the sports radio guy in New Orleans. And then this Barstool thing happens. And so it's a very different way of doing it. But, you know, I love New Orleans. I love the restaurants. I'm a humongous music fan, love the old music, love the culture. Huge Saints fan, big Pels fan, just anything I can do to support the rich history, especially the music and food culture and sports of New Orleans, I'm here to do. And I'm sitting in such a unique spot with Barstool for that, because I'm the first person from Louisiana ever hired at Barstool. And so they didn't really have a big New Orleans presence. They've done a lot of stuff with LSU, with Pardon My Take, and Big Cat and PFT. But think about the content I can bring to Barstool with Mardi Gras parades and Jazz Fest, and I'm good friends with the Hogs for Cause people, and, you know, going to restaurants. I want to do Louisiana po' boy reviews. I think that could be a huge thing. And then also just with all the gambling and the Pelicans thing to me is very interesting because, as I said, there aren't really any national fans. So I'm trying to build the national bandwagon. And Marty Mush, who's a big guy up here, is already the jersey. The Pelicans front office sent him a J.J. Redick jersey. He's a big Duke guy. So we're going to have him on the bandwagon. And, you know, New Orleans is just such an awesome, unique place. And let's be real, this COVID has just destroyed the economy down there. And so I think, you know, I'm going to help promote nationally why everybody needs to get down there and party and enjoy themselves coming out of COVID. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and over Christmas, we held a kind of just trying to raise some money for restaurants in New Orleans. I think we raised over $1,000-something for New Orleans restaurants. And, you know, it might be a small amount, but we're trying,
That's the principle, man.
Right.
Another thing I've done up here, I got involved with the Tip It Safe, Tipitina stuff.
Yeah.
I'm kind of friends with some of the Galactic guys now through this, but when they were doing the Save Tipitina's benefits in November, I talked about it at Barstool and did some videos and promotion for it to kind of shine the light on nationally and help sell some stuff for them. And, you know, I think that they love that and, you know, kind of try to help just build goodwill in the community.
Yeah, and I know Steven's actually a huge Blue Oak fan, Steven.
Yeah. I'm all
Steven is a diehard Blue Oak guy.
Love that.
Phil Mosley, Blue Oak's one of my best friends. And so see me rocking. I wear that Blue Oak
beanie. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Ronnie, the other owner, Ronnie, he went to De La Salle with us down here.
Okay. I've gotten to know him a little bit through Phil.
Yeah. He went to school with us, so we know him a little bit. But that place is so good. So goddamn good.
I'm looking forward to, like I said, the Hogs for a Cause stuff I'm wanting to do in the future involve Blue Oak, and I want to get like a Barstool Hogs team going. I think it could be a really fun thing.
That's such a hoot. I mean, they would have so much fun at that night party that they have every year after it. Oh my God, it would be ridiculous if they came down here.
What is your take on the St. Patrick's Day parade and the Irish Channel? Our office is literally located on Magazine Tree. We got this great balcony. They're not having the parade this year, but we are going to just throw it down.
I always thought the old St. Patty's, you know, everybody always talks about Mardi Gras. I love St. Patty's. I mean, I threw down every year that I could for it. I always thought it was super underrated and fun. I think that Saturday St. Patty's is always one of the most fun days of the year in Nola.
Oh yeah.
I think I've died the past two.
Yeah. I mean, it's been pretty rough.
Yeah.
They still throw in the cabbages.
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. And we have so many windows up here. Just. Yeah.
That's how I almost died. I got nailed in the head with a fucking cabbage.
That's about right.
I mean, smoked in the side of the head.
Mincy, has any of those guys, you know, Portnoy or Big Cat or any of them experienced Mardi Gras before?
So now, not really. Dave and Big Cat came down to WrestleMania in 2014.
When I was
in Nola, and they did some videos of them going around Bourbon Street doing stuff like that. But man, that's to me, I can't say enough, like what a blessing and lucky I got. Because there's a million North guys from the North and Midwest up here. But the fact that the Nola, Louisiana, and like I get to represent Nola up here is just, huge for content. What I want to do is get Dave, or I want to get Dave or Big Cat to be the king of one of these Mardi Gras parades, is what I want to do, to be honest, because I think that would be insane.
We got some connections.
Well, I mean, I want to do that and then have like a Barstool float and then like do content on a Mardi Gras parade because the stoolies will lose their minds.
Mincy, we have grown up with Mardi Gras, so we kind of know how to party, and it's Thursday through Tuesday.
I've gone to 32 Mardi Gras and I still can't handle myself.
Well, that's my next question. Yeah. How long do you think those kind of guys, how long do you think they would last? Like, how long do you think, I don't know, Eric Hubs would last?
I feel like they'd get in that environment because the environment's so intoxicating and grips you. I feel like they'd all go hard for like 4 or 5 hours and not realize how hard they were going.
That's true.
I think, because I feel like they'd just be like, oh, this is unreal being on this float or whatever. And they'd like the adrenaline rush would be there, but then they'd just like get off the float and just barely be able to walk kind of thing.
Yeah, most people don't know it is really a marathon.
It's a marathon.
I mean, that weekend before, man, I'll normally go Friday to Friday 2. I call it Friday 2 when I don't go to sleep. So it's Saturday, but it's really Friday.
I'm telling you, when I used to live down there, we'd go out on Friday nights. I mean, I never didn't see the sun come up on Saturday. I know exactly. Hey, you mentioned the boot. I used to stumble in the boot at 4 or 5 a.m. all the time, man.
Have you ever done Tequila Sunrise?
I have not. I've done the sunrise sets for Galactic on Lundi Gras at Tipitina's.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's Tequila Sunrise. It's at the boot. It's not really that big of a special. They just have like tequila shots.
But you maybe do it one time. Yeah,
it's the worst. But once you make it there, it's like a rite of passage. Yeah. I think in a Mardi Gras world, like if you make it to Tequila Sunrise at the boot, somewhat official.
Our crew used to always throw down a Le Bon Ton. Like, We called it the vortex because it just sucks you in from 1 a.m. to 8 a.m. and spits you out.
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times.
I'll be honest, but I'm 37 now, and I still have fun, but I'm more of a day, like, go to the Pelicans game or go to the show, but we've kind of knocked out the late night stuff. Thank God.
Sure. Minty, now, March Madness, probably my favorite time of year coming up. I can imagine you have a couple of winners. Do you have any teams that you're focusing on right now that you like? Any good value, any good teams out there that you like right now?
The one that's coming on that's not getting a lot of nationwide attention that's impressing me is USC at the Pac-12. Nobody sees them play because the damn games start at 3:10, especially now on the East Coast. Their games tip off at 10:30. Too old to be staying up to 1 a.m. on a weekend.
Oh, that's right. You got to deal with that now.
Oh, it's horrible. The East Coast time thing is the worst. You get off work at 6, you're like, you know, where's the sporting events? Happy hour. Like, it's crazy. But this USC team, Andy Enfield, who's the whole Florida Gulf Coast guys coaching, I feel like they're more athletic and talented than they're getting credit for, and nobody's seeing it because people aren't watching West Coast basketball. They blew Oregon out last night, and I was impressed.
They've got a big guy that's projected to get drafted relatively high, I think, out of USC. So, yeah, I mean, they've been putting out – they usually have a guy or two that goes NBA too. So that's not a surprise. I haven't seen him play this year, but the name's escaping me. They have a guy that's projected to get drafted pretty high.
That's the thing. Nobody's seen him play this year nationally. And I know, look, this year Gonzaga and Baylor, I mean, they're as chalky as I can remember. What Baylor's doing – I mean, that Big 12 is no joke. I mean, you're talking about, look, all those teams are good. Texas Tech, West Virginia, Texas, Oklahoma State, all these teams, Kansas – they're all good, and to be running through that conference undefeated, dominating, to not have any slip-ups, I mean, it's one of the more impressive college seasons I think I've seen in a long time. Also, got to mention Michigan, who came off that COVID break. What a win they had at Ohio State. I thought that was one of the best played basketball games of the year.
Ohio State, I watched a game Ohio State at Illinois probably 2-3 weeks ago. They were impressive. And at the time, Ohio State was ranked like 15 or 16, and, I mean, they thrashed Illinois. They're a team that I've definitely got my eye on come tournament time.
So, Mincy, I'm probably the biggest poker player of all three of us. How did you – so I probably started playing 10 years old online poker. I think it was Full Tilt. My brother made me stay up all night.
Full Tilt was very good.
Full Tilt was the GOAT until, I think, what was it, Phil Ivey or someone was, like, stealing money. And then there's
Howard Letter.
How did you kind of get into playing poker? And then obviously I want to hear, you know, a couple stories from World Series of Poker. I've always dreamed of it. My idea was to get 10 guys, everyone's $1,000 buy-in, and whoever wins gets to go to the World Series of Poker. That's always been a thing of mine. But tell me how you kind of got into playing poker.
So honestly, when I was at Ole Miss, I was in a fraternity. I was an ATO at Ole Miss, and I started out playing $5 games in the frat house. I lived in the frat house my sophomore and junior year, and we'd play $5 games. And I got like one of these personalities, like a super addictive personality. And so, like, if I get into something, I get obsessed with it. I'm not very good at moderating anything. And so I just got super obsessed with poker, and I started going up to the Horseshoe in Tunica, which is about an hour away from up there by Memphis. And I'd start, like, I was playing 3-6 limit, 4-8 limit. Play $5 and $10 sit and goes on party poker, reading books, just obsessed with it, playing low limits for like 2 years. So one night, it was like April 12th of 2006, I'm playing this $20 tournament on party poker. I probably have $200 in my name, like a broke college kid. And there were 2,340 people in this tournament, and I just win it for like $10,000. And I thought I was a millionaire. You know, I'm 23 years old at the time. I'm just losing my mind. And I remember I called my mother the next day, who's a lawyer, and told her about it. She was not happy. She could tell where this thing was headed. And I kind of just started doing that. And, You know, I played a ton online. I basically, party poker was good to me back in the day. I've loved Bodog, which is now Bovada. I've always done real, real well in there. And then I did well on, I did really good on Full Tilt. And so what happened was I was just playing online. I'd play like South events and Tunica specifically in 07 and 08. And then 09, I was like, man, I need to get the hell out of Oxford, especially if I'm not in school. I've lived up here 8 years. And I've been talking about moving to New Orleans forever. So I moved down to New Orleans in 09, the fall when the Saints win the Super Bowl. And I went to like 8 games, went to all the playoffs, and went to the Super Bowl. And I was playing, I was living in Soleil, and I just played cash games at Harrah's. And then I played a ton online, a lot of online tourneys. And then I played, like I said, Bo Biloxi. And, man, I just crushed it in 2010. I mean, I had a huge year online. That was when I got in the top 200 in the world. And then in 2011, I blew up live. The first tournament I played live in 2011 was a $500 tournament, Bo Raj Biloxi. And I chopped it for like 33K, like January 5th. It's like, oh, man, this is going to be a good year. So that was 10 years ago. And then that year, the government outlawed online poker in mid-April. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to focus on playing live. Well, then I go to the World Series. It was the second time I played the World Series main event. I made a huge run and got 75th in the main event. Made day six, like, cash for like 90K. I mean, it was insane.
How grueling, Mince, I've always wondered, is how grueling is that process? Because you see it on TV and it's like chopped up and like they only do like the main, like, I can't imagine playing poker for, what is it, 10, 11 straight hours?
Well, so you play for 2 hours and then you get a 15-minute break.
But then you play for another two. And
you get a, so you play 2 hours, you play a two-hour level, you get a 15-minute break, you get a 90-minute dinner break. But, man, you just are so – the adrenaline rush of the main event, you're just saying – it's just – I mean, you're just so into it. It's just I don't know. There's nothing like the World Series main event. And when you think – you know, you look at all these sports in the world, man, I can't qualify for the Masters. I can't go play Super Bowl for the Saints or NBA. Man, if you got money, you can put 10K down there and you can play the World Series of Poker main event, you know. And the best main event story I got was from 11. I don't know how much y'all know about poker, but a really famous poker pro named Patrick Antonius is from Europe, beast. He moves to my table on my right on day three of the 11 main. And he's got so many chips, like you couldn't even see his bag when he shows up the table. And he moves in on my right, and I was crushing this table at this time. And we start battling, and he wins two hands, and I win two hands. We're kind of messing with each other. And then we have this hand where he raises at a late position, and I have king-queen. And he makes a 7,200, and I make a 19,500 behind him with king-queen offsuit. Because, like, dude, he's raising every single hand. So king-queen's way in front of him. Well, he looks at me and just bombs it to 63,000. And before the hand, I had like 220K. He had like 160. So he put 63 of his 160 in. So I'm sitting there with king, queen high, and I'm just like, damn, why did I re-raise this guy when I could have called? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm about to fold. Like, it's 10K, it's day three. And then my stomach just goes off. My gut instinct's like, this dude doesn't have anything. He just totally thinks by this bet he made, I won't have the heart to go all in for 220K unless I have like pocket kings or pocket aces on day three of 10K. And so I ripped all in with king queen on him, and he folded. Oh. I showed the king out of the table, and people just lost their minds. They really is one of the top players in the world. And the whole rest of the day, nobody messed with me. They were just like, this dude's insane. That's my best hand of my life. And like, that's like a better hand than the Rounders Mike EBD would, man. That was
I'm a big
that was only the only bummer was that ESPN cameras weren't, because the cameras were around Antonius. I'm so mad that a hand didn't get picked up on ESPN, because that's the kind of hand I should be watching at 4 a.m. forever.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, look, Mince, we can't thank you enough for, first off, pushing New Orleans and Louisiana and, you know, especially with Barstool and everything like that. And whenever you're down here, we'd love to hang out and bring you the studios and grab a drink or whatever it may be. And we definitely have to send you some gear up there. So hopefully we can link up after this.
Absolutely. And my role, when I see as far as the Pelican stuff go, like, man, there are plenty of people. Like, I'm a casual basketball fan. I watch the games. There's tons of people, including y'all, that probably know more than I do about it. My role is to just shine the light on New Orleans and be the national fan. I think, and the Pels front office has embraced it. They sent me a vintage Zion City jersey the other day. I did a video. They got like 30,000 views. And like I said, Marty Mush is kind of becoming a bandwagon Pelicans fan. And we're going to, you know, when the Pelicans come up here to Brooklyn and Madison Square Garden and Philly, we're going to go to all these games and do content and be like the NOLA on the road. And I just think that that's, kind of the best thing I can do is promote New Orleans. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking. And also I'm looking forward to when live music comes back, I'll go see all the New Orleans.
Oh yeah.
I can't wait.
I forgot to ask this question. You know, we've done this answer before, but who would you say in the Hornets Pelican, you know, tenure here since New Orleans, who's your favorite player like ever?
Man, I know a lot of people hated the way it ended, but I loved Chris Paul when he was there. Yeah. And I know that, like, he's kind of become a little bit of a villain because he'll play a little dirty and, you know, his body language on the court can be bad. But, man, he was awesome during his time because that was when I was really going to the Hornets games. When I lived down there from 09 to 14, I'd go to, like, 20 a year, especially when I was living at Solway. You know, I'd go to all those games. So I enjoyed that era. I was at that Spurs game 7. That was the
year. I just tweeted that out. Fargo missing the three.
Yeah, that was just that game 7 was big. I was at that. And I remember the Lakers series when Kobe and them came in there. I went to that. So I was all about that Paul David West era that really went downhill. That Tyson Chandler to Okafor straight up trade kind of really. Yeah. We won't go down that road. But I was that was kind of my favorite era. I mean, obviously supported AD and the Drew Holiday era. Right now, the Zion thing, though, I mean, just got to tell ourselves night to night. I know that there have been some of these losses. I mean, the Detroit one and the Minnesota one. Like, it's so bad. But you just can't, like, there's so many games in the NBA, you just can't let yourself get too up over wins or down over losses. You just got to embrace that we're getting to see something so special, Zion. And I really like Ingram, too. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully if the guard play can just get a little more consistent, we can really see them build something. They're just so young that, you know, night after night, you really don't know what you're getting. And so I try to not let it get me too emotional.
So you said Chris Paul was your favorite era. Now, did you stick around for the dark days after?
Oh, that was
dark days. Yeah. So I used to buy
Derek Gordon days.
Oh, God. So the dark days, as I like to call them, or the B Zany days.
Oh, geez.
Did you ever have to experience the B Zanies? Do you remember those?
No.
Oh my God. I bought a ticket and I had to sit right in front of them one time for like $7. I wanted to shoot myself. I couldn't stand it. We were down 30 and they were standing up cheering the entire game. Yeah, right. My God.
B-Zanes, that was tough.
They had to audition for that. I'll say this every time. You had to audition.
Yeah, that's right.
Take time out of your day, go to a different building that you were in from the previous one, and try out for this.
Oh my God. That was tough. That was tough. Ben, whenever you come in, let's go to a game.
Yo, for sure. No, I'm going to, like, it's cool. I got a buddy in the front office that works for the Saints and Pels because obviously it's the same organization. And I plan on coming in and hitting a bunch of games. And then, like I said, the game, man, when they come up here in the Northeast, that's going to be so fun. You can see them. Like, our office is literally 2 blocks. You can see Madison Square Garden. You walk outside. So, I mean, I can't wait.
I laid in a vet.
Zion and Emeka.
Yeah. Have you been to Madison Square Garden since you've been up there?
I have not, man. Oh, wow. Everything's closed. It's been weird. So the New York transition, I'd only spent one night my entire life in New York. I came up here. It was fall 2011. I'm a psycho Widespread Panic fan. And I saw him play at Williamsburg Waterfront in Brooklyn. And that was the only time I'd ever been in New York. And so since I've been here on Halloween, it's a little bit of a secluded existence because, I mean, honestly, I come to work and I go to the gym and I get to go food and I go home. That's what I do because they're really in, you know, COVID's no joke up here. Everybody's real serious about it. And so even though I've been here 3 months, I don't feel like I've really, you know, I've kind of lived a secluded life. I hadn't really got to explore too much in New York yet, but I think things are starting to get a little better.
Right. And I see that you're doing an awesome thing with, you know, B-Walker and you're doing that. I guess it's the Whoop Challenge. I'm guessing
kicking his ass. The Whoop Challenge thing. Like, I actually, I've lost a bunch of weight. I lost a lot of weight last year, too. I mean, I was a big dude. I'm still a big dude. I still want to lose 40 more. But I've been working really hard on this going back to like last March or April. And like, I actually quit drinking after 20 years in late April and I don't booze anymore, which is hilarious because I used to party so hard. So I still have fun, but I just don't drink. But I kind of made that a point of the quarantine when COVID hit. I was like, you know, I don't want to be at risk for COVID because I'm too lazy to take care of myself. That's ridiculous. And you know, I've really put a big premium on that. I think I've lost like 50 or 60 pounds. And, you know, I've been running a lot and lifting weights. I mean, I'm pretty fully committed. But when I got up here at Barstool, everybody's like, oh, that's the fat Southern kid. I was like, they don't have any idea like what's in me. And so now, I mean, I'm, You know, I'm running 15, 20 miles a week on the treadmill. And, you know, I'm really pushing real hard and lifting. I'm doing everything. And so the Whoop Challenge is a funny thing. So they were doing like a weight loss kind of competition up here at Barstool. And when I heard Big Cat talking about it in the office, I wasn't originally selected to be on it. I pulled him aside. I was like, Big Cat, you want to win this Whoop Challenge? You select me. And everybody's laughing their ass off. They're like, no way. And so I've been super serious about it. I've just been crushing it. And man, it's just been a lot of fun. And it's been a cool way for the Stoolies to get to know me. Cause you know, I think they see like how hard I'm really, you know, trying to take advantage of this opportunity. And so I think people are really, really pulling for me. It's built a lot of goodwill.
Yeah. And you're doing some awesome work up there. And we're so, you know, once again, thanks for joining the show. That's Ben Mintz. You can follow him at Barstool Mintzy on Twitter. Ross and Steven, y'all got anything else left for him?
No, man. Good to talk to you, brother.
Yeah, nice really, man. Thanks. Hopefully this Pels team, you know, I know that Boston win was such a good one the other night. I mean, you just you don't know what you're getting night after night, but man, the potential is just, you just see it. Hopefully they can, I'd like to see, even if they just sneak into that 10 seed this year, I'd really like to see them make the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. So listen, once again, thanks for joining us. That's Ben Mintz of Barstool Sports. You can get him at Barstool Mintzy. And we are Pro Pels Talk. Follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Pro Pels Talk. Steven, get us out of here.
Kisses.
First took away. That's the best. Get your money's worth. Now. Zion for three, hit it again! He loves being how about Ingram on the floater and the foul?
Did you say floater?
He got it.
That ain't no floater.
I'll put it this way, it was a finger roll of anything.
That's a dunk.